You may be seated. And if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find that on page 684. And we read these words. It says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask of him." It's good news for us and good news for us to listen to and understand as it's brought to us this afternoon. God bless.
I had this thank you note handed to me just coming in. I think maybe we ought to read this. It says, "Dear Church, thank you to His Care Ministry, Fellowship, Cooks, my family, my church. My family is so blessed for the love and care you showed us, and all the prayers are so greatly appreciated. God's got us in His hands, and that's from the Mark Onley family." Folks, you remain in our prayers as God is going to work and just continue to bless you with healing. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open up once again to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to be looking together at the 8th verse today. And I want to ask you, as we begin this particular message, what do you need? What do you need? You know, as we go through life, we have an awful lot of needs, quote unquote, and the reality is that many times they're not really needs, they're just desires or wants. And I'm not saying that that's wrong or that that's bad, unless it's a desire or a want that is contrary to the will of God or is contrary to the Word of God. There are wants that people have that are just totally against the will of God. I know that in my former life, when I was an alcoholic, my greatest want was another fifth of vodka, and that was wrong. And that was out of the will of God, and that was sin. And folks, we need to understand that anything outside of the will of God is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so we need to understand that and come face to face with it and the realities of it. But there were things that I wanted, that I believe, after I became a Christian, I believe that God blessed. I wanted a family. And God blessed me with the greatest family in this world, notwithstanding your families. But my family is greater. And God honored that want, and I have certainly been blessed because of that. We wanted to have Mina come and live with us a year, and God honored that want. And our lives are enriched because of her presence and being able to be with us. And to be honest with you, it's going to be difficult to ship her off to a thing called Japan. But it truly has been a blessing to have her with us. But that was a want that we had, and God honored that. And I'm going to tell you, but there are some things that we want that just really aren't in keeping with God's will. And sometimes when we go before the Lord in prayer, we have to understand that His response to our wants may be no. He might declare that that's not what's healthy for us, and that's not what's good for us, and not His will, and not what's best, and therefore He may give us a big old N-O when it comes to some of those things that we want. But when it comes to the issues of what we need, God will always respond yes. Now, I want us to look again at that eighth verse of Matthew chapter 6. And let's look at this. Jesus is talking about the subject of prayer in that great message known as the Sermon on the Mount. And this particular passage, as you look at it from verse 5 through verse 15, actually, we had Pastor Homer read 5 through 8, but nonetheless, if you would continue on to go through verse 15, you would find that Jesus in this passage teaches how to pray. And in this teaching that he has, he indicates that God is willing to be open to us, that he will hear us, and that he will respond to us, and he will give to us that which is best for us to be able to have. But I want you to notice that he talks about those who do all their praying in the public and on the street corners, and he's referring to what was taking place with the Pharisees at that time. The Pharisees were individuals that at specific times of the day, what they would do would be there would be temple bells ring or some type of a sound that would come. It might be a trumpet, it might be a bell, it might be some type of a sign anyways that would be held at certain times of the day, and all of those who were Pharisees were to go to prayer. Those were the prayer times. And these Pharisees would look at their watches. They didn't have watches back then. They would look at their watches and they would say, uh-oh, it's almost time for prayer. And here I am, shut up in my home. I'd better get out on the street corner. And so they would rush to where there would be a busy place, and that when the bell would ring, that they would look so holy by standing on the corners and giving their loud prayers. And Jesus is literally speaking against that practice, because that's an abuse of the gift of prayer. And now let's look at that. He says in verse 5, "And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites." Now that's a nice warm fuzzy that Jesus was just going to kind of throw out there, because everybody knew who he was talking about. "You are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. I say to you, they have their reward in full." Someone walks by and says, "Boy, there's a holy guy." That's all the reward they get. God doesn't bless their prayers, but they get the praise of men, which was what they were seeking. "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words." And now look at this eighth verse. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." How much trust do you have in God? How much confidence do you have that God will supply your every need? Maybe not your desires, maybe not your wants, but your needs. There is an endless list of reasons for thanking God for being our Heavenly Father. But you know, I think that sometimes we just kind of presume upon God. We take Him for granted. We don't really focus in our lives on who He is and what He wants to do. And so we are literally robbed of a blessing. those of you who are married here, I want you to take a journey back. In your little journey back, I want you to think of that special moment when you made that connection that said, "This one's for me." Do you remember that time? Do you remember when that special someone came into your life that you determined, boy, I could live the rest of my life with that person because I am in love? And love is an awesome thing. Love is one of those things that just kind of gives us the tickles and the wonderful feelings and the emotions that just kind of give us hope for the future, so that we know, you know what? This is a person who's going to encourage me. This is a person who's going to support me. And you see, early on in love with a man and a woman, love is selfish. We're in it all for us and what we're about. And then comes that glorious moment when we get down on that one knee and we say, "Oh dear, oh light of my life, oh wondrous, wondrous one, would you please marry me?"
Again?
But, you know, there comes that time and they respond with that resounding yes, the fifth time you ask, and they will. You don't believe that, do you, John?
No?
But they will respond with that yes, and you begin to make those plans and those joys for a lifetime together, and you want to know everything that there is to know about that person. And so you're going,
"Tell me about yourself. I really want to listen." 3 years into the marriage, you're going, "Doesn't this person ever shut up?"
No, you don't do that. I'm just teasing. But you see, that love is important, and communication becomes that thing which really lets us discover who that other person really is down on the inside. God wants that kind of a relationship with you and I. A relationship where we are opening ourselves up before Him, and He is revealing Himself clearly and plainly to us. He wants us to know who He is. And you see, as Jesus is doing this preaching on the hillside, He's talking about the moment of intimacy in prayer with God. And so He says, "Look, don't be one of these brazen, bold, public prayers. Go into your inner closet. Go into your inner room and privately be intimate with God. He'll bless that. If you're going to be just a public prayer, you're not going to get the blessing that God wants to pour out." You know, prayer is not the exercising or the exercise of letting God know what's going on in our life. Because He already knows. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He also knows and sees these spiritual forces of evil and wickedness that are doing everything that they can to dissuade us from following God. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot of times when we do not see the spiritual warfare that is taking place for our souls. There is a constant battle going on between God and His forces and Satan and his forces. And their goals are altogether different. The goal of God for our lives is peace, love, wisdom, encouragement, grace, forgiveness, passion. The goals of Satan and his minions is destruction and hatred and punishment and that constant warfare is going on. The resurrection has taken place. Jesus is meeting with the boys. And as he's meeting with the boys, he talks with Peter. And, excuse me, this was right before the crucifixion. He's talking with Peter. Peter's getting that kind of boldness that Peter gets, you know. The one that speaks out without thinking. Peter has made another one of his wonderful proclamations. And Jesus looks at him and in this phrase lets him know what he thinks of Peter. And he says this, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Here it comes. But I have prayed for you. Wow. That's incredible. Now stop and think about it. The God of all creation, the great sacrifice, Jesus Christ Himself prays for you and me. Before His Father, He submits our case. Before His Father, He breathes our name. Before His Father, pleads our cause because He is our advocate with the Father. He knows what our needs are even when we don't. I'm going to ask you again, what do you need? In the overall scope of life with the consideration of eternal life, what do you really need? Sometimes that question becomes a moment of meddling. I don't want you coming to me and saying, look, here's what I need. No. Whatever your needs are, you go before the Lord. I'm not saying that I won't try to help you or anything like that. Don't misunderstand me. But I mean at the close of the service, I don't want someone striding up to me and say, I'll tell you what I need, Pastor. I need a better pastor in the pulpit. Well, so do I. It's not a surprising thing. All right? But I want you to go before the Father and in prayer submit your needs to God. be open to what his response is going to be. Because sometimes what your perception of your needs is not the same as the perception of what God believes you need. Trust him. He will never withhold from you anything that you need. But he will bless you openly. And he will bless you above and beyond what you could ask or think. I want you to see this. I want you to continue on in your reading, beginning at verse 9. Jesus says to the crowds on the hillside, "Pray then in this way, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Interesting way to begin a prayer is to begin it with praise. And folks, if you want to see your prayers become more effective, begin your prayers with praise. Take a moment to acknowledge that God is supreme. Take a moment to acknowledge that he is powerful. Take a moment to acknowledge that he is love. Take a moment, as this phrase states, and acknowledge that he is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Do you get the sense that Jesus isn't just giving instruction here, but instead Jesus is acknowledging even his submission to the Father? And he reveals that several times throughout his ministry, and in particular in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prays, "Not my will be done, Father, but thy will be done." A full and complete submission to the Father. And so he's telling the people on the hillside, keep holy the name of God. Don't cheapen God's name. Your prayer will have more effect. And then look what he says next, because he's indicating that we as subjects of God should want God's will to be accomplished, whatever that might be, in this life and in this world. Because he says this, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Lord, not just, Father, when we get into your presence, when we have gone through the passage from this world to the next, not just then do I want to see your will done. I want to see it done here and now. And so, Father, I'm going to hallow your name, but I'm also going to acknowledge your authority and make this plea for your will to be done. And what is God's will? It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's will for this world, here and now, is that grace might be experienced by all people. And that grace is a saving grace. Well, God does not want to see anyone choose eternal damnation over eternal life. Because that's not his will. So Jesus says, look, include this in your time of prayer. Do you pray for the lost in your prayers? Do you pray for the wayward? Do you pray for the lukewarm? Do you pray for those who are just growing cold or being stubbornly obstinate? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then notice as he continues here, he says, then you can turn things towards what your needs might be. Give us this day our daily bread. I like the fact that he didn't say, give us this day a pink Cadillac. He didn't say, give us this day a million-dollar mansion. But he says, give us what we need. What we need. That's what the symbol of bread is. What we need to sustain life. God, give us that. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. Now, the word debts does not mean free me from being able to pay my bills. All right? If you have made a bill, pay it. I don't want anybody saying, our pastor said, just go ahead and pray and don't worry about your bills. He said, we didn't have to worry about our debts. No, I'm not talking those kind of debts. I like the way the King James says it because it says, forgive us our trespasses. In other words, those things that we have done wrong to someone else, because those are trespasses against God. Very important. Very important. Every sin that we commit against another individual is a sin against God. So Jesus says, look, seek forgiveness for those things. Forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. As we forgive those who sin against us, forgive us for the sins against them and you. Very important. If you want to be a successful Christian, you cannot be filled with unforgiveness in your life. Then he says this, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, Father, keep us from doing evil. Keep us away from the temptations that would entice us and draw us away from you. You want to know something? These very things that Jesus has brought out in this particular prayer, every one of them are needs, not wants. They are needs. If we are to be what God wants us to be, these areas in our lives have got to be met. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When you determine to follow that pattern of prayer, God revolutionizes your life. Now, I'm not saying that you learn the Lord's Prayer so that you can always recite it, because anything can become a ritual. And it's not about ritual. Prayer is about relationship. And so as you learn this pattern, God allows you the leverage of being who you are, of wording things the way that you want to word them. But when you acknowledge the fact that first thing that you need to do is address God with respect, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy are you above all things." Hallowed, revered, reverenced. When you begin by addressing him with the respect that he is due, then he responds with a closer ear. Do you want to get Andrew's attention? You don't go up to him and say, "Hey, moron." You're not going to get his attention. You address him with respect. "Hey, Andrew." It's a good name, Andrew. Isn't it? Yeah, it's a good name. Address him with it. When God declares that he is our Father, and Jesus says we can go so far as to have intimacy with God by recognizing him as Papa or Daddy, still respectful, because that's what the word Abba, Father, means. Means Papa. It's an intimate word. We are close friends. God is not some leader who sits in his White House in the green room and doesn't care about the average Joe under his charge. He views us as a cherished child. He's not going to give us a snake. He's not going to give us a scorpion. He's going to give us what we need to be able to sustain life and to succeed. Folks, more than anything in this world, God wants intimacy with us. He wants us to treat him with respect as a child to his father. And he wants to treat us with love as a father to his child. How could we want anything else? In conclusion, I ask you, what do you want? Then I want to ask you to bring that down, and what do you need? God knows what you need. But He wants your fellowship through prayer. That's why prayer was created. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would, please take your hymnals. Open up to number 518. Just a simple little song, "The Longer I Serve Him." And this morning, as is always the case, I want you to know our altar's open. And we invite you. Perhaps you don't have an intimate relationship with God, and He is speaking to you and He's saying, "Hey, I want you in my family. I want you to be my child." Then the altar's open. Come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Perhaps you're here and you'd have to say, "You know, I've really not been spending the time with God that I need to. And so I just want to speak to Him this morning. Tell Him I'm sorry. And renew my commitment to Him to pray. For men ought always to pray and not to faint." So if that's your case, we invite you to come as well. So as we sing, "The Longer I Serve Him," if you would like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to be seated in this front pew right here. If you just want to spend time with Him, the altar's open and this pew is open. So feel free. So let's sing number 518, "If God's Speaking to You in Those Fashions, Please Come." We're going to ask Matt to come and lead us in a hymn of benediction. I want to thank you for being here today. I trust that you'll be able to say, "It was good to have met in God's house with God's people." So let's have a closing word of prayer, and Matt will lead us in number 602 as our closing benediction. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. We acknowledge that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you are the God of all creation and all wisdom. And Lord, we thank you for your desire to know us and for your desire to have us know you. And Lord, we pray that each one of us might be so fully yielded to you that we would not wish to offend you in any fashion. We thank you for your many provisions for us. And Lord, most importantly, we thank you for the provision of salvation through your Son, Jesus. Now, Lord, please, as we leave this place today, may we leave with a resolve to serve you and to bless you as you have blessed us. For it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.